Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Hello. I try to say hello in a way that will surprise, excite, and shock the listeners.
But you shocked yourself.
I do. I normally do. I scare very easily, despite my military training, and often I scare myself. That's one of the reasons they kicked me out in the end. Yeah, I used to, I mean, it seems silly, and I know it seems almost Winnie the Pooh-ish, but when he was frightened of his own shadow, I think it was in one of the books.
Yeah.
That was me. So I'm becoming a lot, because you're so sort of, you know, panicky as it is. So you've got your army gear on, you're walking through the forest, you know, you've got your gun at the ready. Any moment now, something could jump out, an enemy, obviously. And so you're looking around, you're scanning, and you just, I've always had great PRIFs, you know, my peripheral vision is one of the reasons they wanted me in the army in the first place. They said, "How are your PRIFs?" I said, "Well, who said that?" And the guy was behind me. And I said, "Well, move slightly to my left." And there he was. He came into my vision. And he says, "Am I on your PRIFs now?" Hey? Yeah, I says, "You're in my PRIFs now." He says, "No, I'm behind." He said, "No." I said, "You're in there." "What, just off here to the left?" "Yep." What type of shirt have I got on?" I said, "Army shirt." "Yep." And I was in. So my PRIFs are good.
What kind of trousers? Army trousers?
Khaki? Khaki trowel? Army boots? Yep. How many? Two. So I was in. And... but then patrolling around in the forest, and I know this is a bit of an aside in amongst many asides that I've given so far. But
3 minutes in, four asides.
Literally 3 minutes into the show, and we're now deep in the forest on an army expedition. Rhys Darby explaining his peripheral vision in a panicky situation. And I could see out of the corner of my eye something.
Beginning with.
Beginning with. S.
Sniper.
It was not a sniper. It was my shadow, goddammit. And because the sun was coming up. It was going down, rather. And our shadows went really long.
Right.
You know, when they go real long.
Oh, yeah,
and I saw some movement in the trees. And I thought it was some. And it was my shadow, and I jumped, and unfortunately I made a bit of a shriek, you know, just a subtle sort of, "Ah!" And then,
"What is it, Darby?"
"I saw something." "What, your shadow?" And I went, yeah. And so that's just one of the instances that sort of led me to eventually leaving.
Leaving or being asked to leave? Big difference.
All right, let's move on with the show. You're not going to use any of this. Let's kick into the Weekly World Weird News.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
I got a good one. A new species of extinct ape, a gibbon, has been discovered in the tomb of an ancient Chinese noblewoman.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, this is the grandmother of China's first ever emperor. And they went inside her tomb, and they've never been in there before. And inside it, in almost like a cabinet, like a filing cabinet, they found an extinct species that no one's ever seen before, which was kept as her pet.
Wow.
And it's a gibbon that doesn't exist in that area. His button's gone, so I've just seen that he's disappeared.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt, but Buttons has left. I heard a phone ring, and he's gone to answer it. Here he is. He's returned.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
So what did you think of that, Buttons? Did you hear what Dan just said?
It's amazing. An extinct.
Yeah.
An extinct thing.
An extinct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you just repeat what Dan said?
There was. An extinct, they thought it was extinct, and it's come back again. A thing that is, was it a mummy? An extinct mummy? Was it in Egypt?
Good try. Who was on the phone? We know you went and answered a phone call.
No, you see
us. We can see you. This is video. No. We can see you on the video.
I thought you might not notice
the
me.
Listeners know we can see it.
Well, no, it's just...
We can see your little body disappear from the screen.
See, look, this is what I do.
Underpants, by the way. Could you not wear some frowsy for the podcast?
I think we should reveal that, yes. Buttons has no pants on today. Or should I say only pants? Look at those!
God, what is this?
Well, they're quite bum-hugging, aren't they? They're a good quality one, are they?
They're very good
just
quality.
Just as undies.
And it's very hot here, so I don't like wearing pants, trousers.
Okay. Dan, you go back and just remind us again what happened when they opened this tomb.
Yeah. I told you it was a mummy.
Mate, I'm trying to tell my story.
I'm just saying, I was listening.
So what they found was not a mummy, but a sort of an ancient cabinet where you would file away things. And inside was a gibbon, an extinct species of gibbon. This is 2,200 years old.
Wow.
And it belonged to the first emperor of China's mum. This is her tomb. And they've never seen this before. And it's a gibbon in a place where gibbons never existed. So they don't know if it's an out-of-place gibbon that was sort of taken as a pet and put there, or if there was a whole variety of gibbons that lived in this bit of China that were wiped extinct and we just never knew were part of the landscape. The Chinese haven't yet allowed scientists to properly identify which species it might be, as in they've seen the skull and they've seen the bone and it doesn't look like any other species that we have, but they haven't allowed them to officially confirm it through DNA testing and measurements and so on.
But they definitely know it's a gibbon.
Yeah, they definitely know it's a gibbon. It's got the exact same shape of head. So the skull is the same, the body size is the same, but it has differences that means that it's definitely different. But they used to keep them as pets. So this would have been just, you know, walking your dog, walking your gibbon. That would have been what they did back in the day.
Absolutely. I mean, the days of royalty having exotic pets, I mean, that's just part and parcel with being a royal leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Can they bring this gibbon back to life by taking its DNA and recreating it like they are with the woolly mammoth?
Yeah, I mean, I literally did just say that the Chinese government are not allowing them to do any DNA tests, but and you were sitting there listening to this.
No, but I'm just saying, I heard that better.
It's almost better when he's actually not there. At least you can imagine he's listening.
No, but I'm just saying.
Go and answer another message.
That would be cool though.
No, I'm just saying, can they, if they, of course they can.
It's cool as well. This tomb, they've sort of called it a grave menagerie because they found not only the gibbon, but there were skeletons of leopards and a lynx and bears and cranes and all sorts of demons. Yeah, so it was just this bone zoo sitting there around the grandmother or the mother of the first ever emperor of China.
Wow.
He was an interesting guy. I'll just quickly tell you about him. Qin, he was the guy who is responsible for the Great Wall of China. He was an amazing character, and he was convinced of immortality. He thought that there was an elixir to life that would keep him alive, and it's what killed him in the end, because he was prescribed bits of mercury, that were given to him to help him to extend his life.
Wow.
He ended up poisoning himself. And in the fables of where he's buried, they said that he built a river of mercury around him, and that's where he was buried. And we kind of think we know where he's buried now, and they've done a mercury reading outside of it, and the levels are through the roof. So they think they're going to open it, find these rivers of mercury where the first emperor is. And he was convinced that he had met a wizard who had told him about the elixir of life. And this wizard disappeared off and was said to live on a weird mountain somewhere. So the Emperor of China commissioned boats to go off to find this wizard and the elixir of life. And the boats that went off never returned, because if they returned and didn't find it, they would have been killed. And there's a theory that the boats that went off were the people who went on to establish Japan as a country and as a people, because they were looking for the wizard who had the elixir of immortality. Such a cool
story. Wow, that's so awesome.
That's like an Indiana Jones movie, you know, like Indiana Jones and the Elixir of Life. I was reading about the Great Wall of China just this morning, actually, saying that it is one of the world's greatest monuments to failed intentions, and the fact that it was built to keep the Mongol invaders out. But they managed to still get through these gaps that they accidentally left in the wall.
Yeah.
So it's like a monument that can be seen from space to show how humans are fallible, which is quite nice.
Lovely. They can't see it from space, though.
They can't.
Yeah, every Chinese astronaut that goes up, that's their mission to try and spot it. They just can't. So it's like you have to see it, and they've still not seen it.
So you can't see it from space? That's just a myth?
Yeah, that's just a myth. So the original myth, which I think was in the Guinness World Records of Ripley, said you could see it from the moon, and then it got downgraded to space, but you can't even see it from space.
Interesting. Wow. Fantastic news, Dan. And I think if Steven Spielberg, who I'm sure does listen to this podcast, has heard any of that, I think we'll find that in Indiana Jones 5, which I think is coming out in a couple of years. We'll probably even add the China wall bit buttons if you're lucky.
Oh, man. See, this is the thing. We should be charging people to listen to this stuff. You know, like, this is the thing. We're inspiring artists around the world.
But then we'll get less listeners than the few we already have. What happened to that show? Well, they started charging 10 years in. And they lost half their followers. Only the very wealthy listen now. At 200 quid an ep, you know, it's a bit of an asking price.
Well, when it's, you know, when people are getting movie scripts given to them, gifted to them.
It's like, that's, you know, true.
200 quid is a cheap deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, keeping within the realms of mystery and wonder, which I think is a wonderful realm to keep in, there is a mystery sky glow which is unknown to science over Canada, and it's leaving scientists scratching their heads. And that's not because it's dropping nits. It is an aurora. Obviously, the greatest auroras are the Northern Lights, but there's some new lights. And this is what I find hilarious. They've named it Steve.
No, they have not.
They have. They've named it Steve, but it's an acronym. It's an acronym. Although I don't think it was when they first named it, but they've changed it into an acronym for Strong Thermal Emission Velocity Enhancement. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Oh, they've just made that up to make the word Steve.
Yeah,
they have. I actually heard about Steve. Yeah, it was named it after a cartoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a movie called Over the Hedge.
Oh, right,
of course.
Yeah, so they called it Steve, and then to stop the embarrassment when people actually caught on to it, they gave it an acronym backwards.
Well, the acronym works, so it works out quite well. But it says here it reaches temperatures of up to 10,800 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the same as the Earth's core.
Wow.
I mean, how do they measure that? How do they know that aurora in space or in the sky is that hot? I mean, where does that come from, that information?
Yeah.
They got a thermometer.
They throw a thermometer up there?
Yeah.
Attached to a kite? What does it read, Steve?
10,800. Can we name it after me?
All right. It's a bit of a stupid name, but okay, mate. You got the kite to the full extent of the string?
Yeah.
Good. How high is it?
It's 16 miles. 16 miles high.
Actually, it's 16 miles wide and thousands of miles long.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome. Mm.
And there's a video here I'd like to play now. And
Wow.
Look at that.
That's exciting.
It's like a tornado.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone should check out this video. It's like an awesome music video.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there we have it.
Very cool. There's a blog that talks about auroras called the Aurorasaurus.
Cool.
Which I originally read about on. So what's interesting is that since we've been noticing Aurora Borealis, this has been going on and experts have just not spotted it.
Right.
So that was amazing in itself. And then they're now saying it's not even an aurora, it's just a completely separate new category, like the gibbon. It's just like a new category of light phenomena, and they're still looking into it.
Yeah, it fascinates me because, I mean, it's something that we're just noticing now. And, you know, I have a slight concern that, you know, it's there for a reason. It's some sort of message. It's something for us to look up. More about that and in my new section on today's show called Darby's Disclosures, and that's coming up straight after the weekly World Weird News.
Darby's Disclosures.
It's a new feature. A new feature. Comes with a new sting. Happening after your news buttons.
So new that not even the other people in the podcast know about it. That is very new.
This is breaking news to us.
Yeah.
I hope your weird news is good, Buttons, because I'm too excited to see what Darby's Disclosures are.
Well, maybe
don't talk this up.
Maybe we just skip my news. I mean, it's been very busy. I've hopped off the plane. I mean, I've got jet lag. Didn't even hear you talking about DNA.
You always bring the gold.
Well, I think you've come right now, and I think the listeners really look forward to your news every week, Button. So we can't. Yeah. We can't skip your bit.
Exactly. It just needs to be that extra bit good this week because of Darby's Disclosures. We need to keep the
momentum up.
The show suddenly got really hot. We got really hot now. We need to keep it.
If you can imagine the graph now, I think there's a lot of heat in the graph.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The numbers are high. Let's not lose them.
Okay, we've gone from DNA-less bones in a mummy enclosure through to Steve, the big pretty lights. Now, before Darby Disclosures, brainy crows trained to pick up trash at theme park. That's my headline. I mean, it's pretty much all there in the title, but let me. There they are. There you go. That's the birds picking up the trash. So my story is riveted as you all are to find out the details. Is in France in a theme park called Pied-de-Fou.
Why does he do it to himself? Why does he come up with stories where, for a start, he can't pronounce the name?
Well, it's not my fault they've called it something that people like me can't pronounce. This is a theme park that has period villages and gardens and historic reenactments, our type of theme park. And what they've done, rather than paying for people to go around picking up all the little bits of litter that these dirty tourists leave around the place, they've trained 6 crows to fly around and pick up the trash and take it and put it into the rubbish bins. And so they're like, genius, really. And so they get, obviously they've trained these birds by giving them little rewards every time they pick up trash and what have you. And so now it's working so well, they're looking to keep training them and then to lease them out to other theme parks and places where, you know, they don't want to pay for real people to pick up the rubbish.
You know what? This is actually genius, and it's something that's so obvious. Why hasn't this happened before?
I
mean, we all know how fantastically talented birds are.
Yeah,
I mean, and they used to use them in the wars to do the messaging.
Exactly.
And so it's been so many years since we've the studies into bird behavior, and especially crows. I'm surprised it's taken this long to sort of lead to the use of them, and a great use of them too. It's a cool idea.
Well, yeah, and it's quite simple. They, you know, when they deposit a piece of trash into a little drawer, another little compartment opens up, and they get a tasty little treat. And so they could do that with tourists. If you put, like, even without the birds, if you put a piece of rubbish in the rubbish bin, like a little M&M or something like that pops out and you get a little lolly.
One single M&M drops out.
Yeah. I was just like, yay! Goodness. Like I said,
put that rubbish away, you might get yourself a little treaty. Single M&M falls down. And you don't catch it lands on the ground. You stamp on it.
It's a bit of a kick in the teeth to the job force, isn't it? Like AI is taking out most jobs with self-service sort of checkouts and supermarkets. Now the animal kingdom has come in and taking more jobs. What the humans have?
Hey, we want a piece of this. We want a piece. Only want a job. Holly, want a job?
All right, you birds.
the cool thing I was thinking is that the bigger and bigger the rubbish that needs to be collected, the bigger and the bigger birds you could get. Like, have
the
imagine
birds.
Training massive albatross that comes swooping in to pick up. Like,
well, even things like if someone left a dirty old backpack or something like that,
there
you
know,
no one wants to touch it. Because, you know, with terrorism issues and things
bombs.
Like that, and there's someone says, oh, there's a backpack there that's been left.
Yeah.
Let's bring in the giant eagle.
Yeah.
Terrence, you're up. Here comes Terrence. He's coming in. Look at those massive talons. Pick up that backpack. Oh, he's got it. Away you go, mate. Get it away from us. Oh, shit. That's the end of him. Still, we're all fine.
Andrew, you're up next.
Put the new sticker up on the window, will you? Position available. Large bird required for possible bomb disposal.
It's genius.
Going back to the simple crows, a few questions I have. So there's only six of them, yeah? Why is there six? So they've trained six?
Well, what they're saying is that what they want to happen, more than having the crows pick up every piece of rubbish, because it's probably not all that efficient, let's be honest, is for them to inspire all the other tourists and visitors to the park.
I thought you were going to say birds. Inspire all the other birds to do their bit too, you know.
Just a massive,
don't just sit there shitting on statues.
Swarm
pick
of birds.
Up. Pick things up. Don't be annoying. Don't be a rat with wings. Just, you know, look at the crows. And by the way, yes, they've got sparkly uniforms, those six, our favourites, the little guys there with the little tiny medals and their little tiny name tags, which I got to admit we shouldn't have stabbed into their chests, but,
make yourself useful and you can have one yourself a lovely uniform like that.
So how do these six crows distinguish themselves from other birds that might be, like, flying around thinking, oh, yeah, I'll pick up a bit of stuff for a treat? Hey, you're not one of the official picker-uppers.
That's a good thing. Maybe that's what they're after, is exactly that to happen. Maybe these crows are incentivized and they get double treats later if they recruit. It's like a pyramid scheme for the like one birds get two friends and then they get more treats than the two friends. And if those two friends get four or five other friends and then the first bird gets more and more treats every time it gets a piece of rubbish. So you see how that could work.
I think this is how Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds movie started.
A pyramid scheme
by crows in a theme park. And it went and turned into chaos.
All they wanted were the treats.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the humans ran out of M&Ms and then they just attacked us until we all died. How horrific.
I know. It's a terrible way to end. But again, another good movie idea. Somebody just got that for free. They should be paying £200 for these shows. That's another good movie idea, isn't it? A pyramid scheme of birds goes wrong.
Depends how you look at it, Buttons. Well, I just told you about Alfred Hitchcock's movie idea, so I've really just stolen a movie idea.
But and you're saying, there's another good movie idea.
But it's a film that's been made.
Everything's a sequel these days.
We're essentially stealing ideas.
We're adapting. It's an adaptation, Reese. We like to adapt ideas.
You pay your $200 for the podcast, and then you get some movie script ideas, but you also get ideas that we've stolen off others. So if you use one of our stolen ideas, you know, you've just got to learn which is it's a 50-50 gamble.
It is. Nobody knows until they steal one of our ideas and release it into the world, and then you might get a lawsuit. Yeah. You might not. So that's how we're protecting our ideas. People listen to our podcast and they go, might steal that idea, go, oops, it might be one of the fakey ideas, might be one of the ones that's going to get me in trouble.
Talking about movie ideas, they will pop. There's one of those is going to pop up. And the second of our two new sections in this show, Notice Board, which is coming at the end of the show. There's a new section called The Cryptid Factor Notice Board. Came up with the idea today, had a couple of ideas.
That's good.
I'm implementing them.
Community notices.
Just without asking you guys.
Oh, that's great.
So there's a community notice board at the end, and in that you'll see I'm going to have a brief chat about a cryptid movie that's out, I believe, in the cinemas. But more about that later in the show.
All these teasings. It's like you're teasing before you've even completed the first tease. Double tease.
Our stories are almost ad breaks for Reese's new sections. The stuff we need to do to get...
It's time, guys. Are you ready for the new segment?
Certainly are.
Exciting.
It's Darby's Disclosures. The truth is in here. Now it's out there. Darby's Disclosures.
Whoa.
Hello and welcome to the first edition of Darby's Disclosures.
Hello and welcome to. Are you starting a new show within our show?
It's a small show within the show. It's not going to take up too much time. If you don't mind, you guys aren't actually in this part of the show. So we can just be quiet. Okay.
We're going to see two new guys pop up on the screen here. Two new cast members.
I've got a couple of guests this week on Darby's Disclosures. No, I don't. But this is a small segment. Only goes for a couple of minutes. But each week I disclose a little bit more information about aliens and about the drip feed of disclosures that allow us to realize that up ahead of us very soon, the big reveal is happening, if it's not already happening under our very noses. This week, a NASA astronaut claims to have said on Twitter, because it's written down and you can see it's not just a claim, it's actually there, that he... that he may have seen an alien life form on a space shuttle. Okay. In a brief exchange with a UFO investigator on Twitter, Melvin, let's just call the astronaut Melvin. His actual name is Leland Melvin, or Leland. So his surname is Melvin. So
it sounded like you were trying to give him a secret name. It just happened to be his last name. Let's just call him.
You're not in this segment.
Sorry.
Melvin was asked what he thinks about alien theories. He was asked whether or not he believes that there is intelligent alien life residing in our solar system. Now, most people would expect such a question to be met with a laugh from a NASA scientist such as Melvin. But he threw a curveball by claiming that he once thought he saw an alien creature inside the space shuttle itself.
Inside it?
Yeah. So this was the question from the UFO investigator. What's your outlook about the existence of intelligent alien life living in our solar system? Have you ever witnessed a UFO? Please share with us. Thanks. And Leland Melvin, let's just call him Melvin. That's his actual name. This is his reply. I have not seen one in space or on the ground, but thought I saw something organic / alien like floating out of the payload bay. What? And I called the ground crew, the ground staff, to ask what it could be, and it was ice that had broken off of the Freon hoses. Translucent, curved, organic looking. That's what they told him it was. So,
okay.
So there's been, you know, a few reports here. There's, you know, the internet have sort of taken this and run with it and had their own theories. And so I'm simply doing the same thing. And, you know, a lot of people are thinking, oh, it's just clickbait. He's clearly said it's ice anyway. But here's the thing. You know, why would he even mention it? And then, if anything, he backtracked a little bit within his own tweet by saying, oh, but I think it was pretty much just ice because that's what they said it was. But why did he even mention it then? Because that's obviously something that has stuck with him. He has seen some sort of organic-looking format that may have been cased within ice, that it was released from a spaceship payload bay.
And this is a guy who will have seen ice in space.
Of course. You
know, he's aware. Yeah. He knows it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these incredibly smart, you know, people, astronaut scientists. I mean, yeah. I think it's pretty intriguing and it's pretty cool. And that's it. That's a little snippet from this week's Darby's Disclosures.
Okay. Did you tell them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll say something more next week. But until now, I just want you to sit there and just do some more research.
Okay. Are you going to leave?
Yeah. I shouldn't have shut the door. I'm sort of in here with you now, but...
All right,
wow! The clapping you're hearing, ladies and gentlemen, is from Reese himself.
Shut up, they don't know that.
I'm sort of caught between being, you know, sort of feeling a little bit left out that I'm not part of that segment, but also kind of happy that my credibility isn't attached to that segment's news worthiness.
It's risky. It's risky.
Yeah. Especially with my profile, you know?
Turn to the left because your side profile does need a bit more taking care of.
Well, so this bit here,
okay.
The bit under my chin, other chin.
Yeah, what's happening there?
It's a standby chin.
Oh, okay.
In case something happens to that
one. I was going to say.
I've got another one ready to go.
You've got a backup.
Yeah, backup chin. Yeah, that's how it is.
I noticed the same with me the other day. I was looking at myself on TV, and when I turned, I did a profile shot, and I thought, God, what's going on with my neck? Like, it's kind of, it's not, you know, because you don't see that much.
No.
I wanted to have more of a, yeah. I've got too much neck.
Yeah.
And I thought, honestly, and I like you, and I looked at it, and I thought, God, I look like I'm a pelican who's sort of half swallowed a massive fish. Like, what the fuck's going on in there?
Like, you know, they can get little injections now. I got some clickbait the other day, and they can put injections.
Yeah.
And they put apparently something like your body acid, your acid from your stomach, and they inject it into your wow. double chin, and it eats away at your double chin.
Is that right?
Doesn't sound right, does it?
That sounds hideous. Like there's something that's slowly eating away at your double chin while you're cruising around town. I've got to say, your double chin's slowly diminishing. What's happening there? Yeah, it's a new tablet I got. I say tablet, it's a leech I had to swallow that eats me from the inside. Oh, okay. Get that at the chemist or...
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid... Oh, help me!
I have a video. There's not much information here, but I want to show you guys a video. It is of a supposed half-human, half-dog. It's 7 foot tall,
And it's a guy who's filming his dog in a forest battling with this creature. And as I say, there's not much information, but I watched the video and I thought, I have to talk about this. So have a watch of this. And you'll see the dog run into shot in a second. So it's barking away. Look at the size of that thing.
What is that? Oh my goodness.
Now the man's yelling, hey, hey, at it.
I gotta say, I nearly had one of my army frights there. Very big and black and menacing. Was that like a wolf? Oh, here we go.
Look at the size of that thing.
Yeah. That is monstrous.
Because that dog itself is the size of an Alsatian.
That's a big dog. That's
That is a huge beast.
But it's like the size of a massive boar or something, you know, like a...
Exactly.
It's huge. And so you wonder, because all these dogman sightings that are surfacing at the moment, you've got to wonder whether or not that's what people are seeing. Because if I saw that, that I would swear I'd seen a huge man dog type thing. You know, it was huge.
Also, from the video, it looked like it started off. You could see the small. It looked like, you know, a small body, like a it was a head. In the distance there.
Yeah, it's like it's crouching.
Yeah, like, and then when it actually took off, it just got huge, like it almost interdimensionally grew.
Exactly.
I really think we got to keep our eye out for this dogman news, because there seems to be a lot of dogman related kind of sightings and news coming up at the moment. So, yeah, that's exciting if that's what that is.
Now, we've got a brand new photograph of Nessie that's just come up, and this is in the last day or so, the best picture of Nessie in years. A girl by the age of 12 has snapped the Loch Ness Monster on her iPhone during the first day of her holiday after seeing it appear just 50 feet away. I mean, what luck. You're 12 years old.
Wow.
You go on your little holiday to Loch Ness. You know about the legend. Day one. You got your phone out. Boom, there it is. Snappity snap.
Boom, got it.
Yep, got it. Let's move on. The photo is good. It's definitely a head and neck coming out of the lock. So that's the money shot people want. Charlotte Robinson from Leeds. 50 feet from the shore, Nessie surfaced for about a minute before resurfacing about 10 feet further away. Some 7 minutes later, and there's some lovely quotes here that I remember her saying from, I just took what I saw. It was black. I just don't know how far it was out of the water. I'm not good at judging distances. I'm 12. So, she's only 12, you know, but after about a minute, it disappeared and then came back up again in a different place, which is awesome that happened. It was up for less than a minute the second time. I kind of believed in Nessie, but I wanted to see the proof. I always imagined her as having a long neck and flippers. And there's a lovely picture of her holding the phone. Look at her. That's the little girl, Charlotte, that took it.
What happens to Charlotte now? Does she, you know, the recent crypto cons that you guys have been visiting, the alien cons?
Yes, yeah.
You see people who've just taken a snap like this, who build a lecture career.
Absolutely.
Could she, off this one photo, now have a you know, spots next to, you know, Gimlin and von Daniken at these at these kind of, obviously not as big a bill, but could is
I would love to think so. Because if she had the original photo with her, and people want to meet someone who is connected to seeing cryptids, because, you know, not many people get to see them, and even less get to actually photograph something. And so I think there's certainly there's a mysticism and a celebrity that's attached to it. But of course, she's so young that, you know, I don't think her parents would let that happen. But what a great photo. And she seems very, very happy. I'm sure it was, you know, this will be a holiday she never forgets. And, you know, the thing is what they always say with cryptids, and particularly with the Sasquatch thing, is that they come out more for children. And there's something to do with, and it's the same thing I believe they say with spirits and ghosts as well, not that we talk about them, but that children have a deeper connection, a more real connection to anything that's spiritual or not of our realm. Let's send more kids to these areas. Let's send kids up into the Pacific Northwest, into the Sierra Mountains. Let's send scouts, boys brigades or girl guides to look for Sasquatch.
That's a great idea.
Hell, let's send kids into space. Imagine what they'll see.
Because also they're quicker with their phones. They know how to take photos.
They're much quicker. That's why she got us such a good pick. They are so quick. I mean, we're like, hang on now, I've got a... Which app is it? Hang on, I'm just looking on here. I've got so many apps. Oh, there's a couple of messages I haven't replied to. Oh, it's gone. Oh, no. You're kidding me. Oh, I can't even get the lock screen undone. What's my code? Facial recognition, my ass. My phone never recognises my face. You know, do we have to look the same every day?
It's because the chin.
They're sitting there going, it looks like Reese. Yeah. It's just got too many chins to be Reese. It's not.
What's going on with that neck? I mean, there should be neck recognition. That would be a good thing for middle-aged men, wouldn't it? What's your phone? Oh, my phone's got a neck recognition, so it depends if you had those diminishing leech pills or not. But for me, you do a side-on profile, and as long as your neck isn't slowly diminishing over the day, yeah, you can answer your phone anytime. Oh, God.
My crypto news is not actually crypto news. It's another segment, guys.
What?
You're bringing two.
You're inventing a segment?
Come on, Reese.
Reese has invented two new segments.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring back a segment that we haven't had for a very long time.
Okay.
Wow. You're bringing an old segment back that we
decided wasn't good enough to keep.
Yeah.
it was a heavily buttoned segment.
Well, it's just one we can't use often because it's such rare material to be able to get for the show.
Mm.
And the segment is
vocalizations.
I love this one. I love it.
So there's a new vocalization, guys. Somebody has recorded the sound of an angry Sasquatch somewhere in North America. Now, very much like your news, Dan, this is a random video. It's on YouTube. It doesn't say where the location was. It just says it was in a Bigfoot hotspot. They don't want to reveal the location. They also don't reveal the identity of the person who obtained the audio. But they say it is a very angry Bigfoot. If you're at home, you can search this up. But here is basically the audio of this very angry Sasquatch. See if you guys can hear this. Okay. This camera's footage was set up on a tripod and left running on its own for a few hours. What you're about to hear is very real angry screams of a Bigfoot. It's during the day. The footage is during the day. Here it comes, guys.
Wow, it's quite the build-up.
Hang on.
I wish I didn't have a train to catch. Actually, I wish I did.
Right.
But unfortunately, I can stay.
You're missing it.
Sorry.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, heavy breathing.
Yeah.
Or is that you? Oh, wow.
That's cool.
What do you think?
I look forward to listening to this properly on the actual podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're not putting the audio through three different types of phones, speakers, and earbuds. Because, you know, they're out there. There's recordings of Sasquatches generally. But if you guys have got any other vocalizations, you could send links to us and we can play them on the show of any cryptid creature or anything weird, and we can discuss what we think it might be. Noises in the dark, but not just your dad downstairs on his computer or something. It's got to be definitely not that, actually, but it's got to be something outside, possibly from another realm. But it is a cool thing. All right, well, wrapping this show up, we've got our final segment, which is a brand new one, not just an old rehash from the past. It's Notice Board. Comes with a new sting. Here it is.
Oh.
Notice Board. Notice Board.
Cryptid Factor.
Notice Board. Did you notice it?
No.
Ah. All right, so Notice Board is where we talk about upcoming events, things that might be on. There's a movie called The Meg, which is out right now in the cinemas. To sum it up, it's about a prehistoric shark, the Megalodon. It stars, who's it star?
It stars Jason Statham.
Jason Statham, that's right.
Lee Bingbing.
Who?
Lee Bingbing.
Oh, okay.
She's a Chinese actress and singer.
Oh, cool.
She looks awesome. Rainn Wilson is in it. Rainn Wilson, of course, from The Office.
Oh, yes.
The American Office. Ruby Rose and Cliff Curtis. These are all amazing names.
Oh, wow. And by all accounts, it's not brilliant. But, you know, you can't expect much when you're making a Jaws rehash. But it really is a cryptid movie. I think if you're into monster movies, I think you're going to really like it because it's got all those cliches, all those fun moments, the horror moments of the absolutely gigantic shark. And, none of us have seen it, so I like to do a review of something I've never seen. that's out now.
Well, it's not a review, is it? It's a community notice.
It's just a notice on the notice board, yeah. There's a strict no review policy on the notice board.
Yeah, no, otherwise it gets taken down.
Also in movie news, Slender Man is coming out soon. That looks horrifically scary.
It does.
And it is actually usually the youth that think that they see this very skinny creature with very long appendages, and it's the stuff of horrors. But the major news from the notice board this week, guys, is this game.
That's cool.
Osprey Games have sent us, each of us, they've got three copies of this game called Cryptid. It's called Cryptid. It's a game by Hal Duncan and Ruth Viviers. And it's a board game about cryptids.
Yay.
That's so cool.
So I'll just read what it says on the back. You've studied the footage, connected the dots, and gathered what M-E-A-G-R-E?
Meager?
Meager.
Meager. Not a word I use often. I would say meager. Evidence, you could. You're close. Soon the whole world will know the truth behind the cryptid, and you will be the envy of cryptozoologists everywhere. In this unique deduction game of honest misdirection, players must try to uncover information about their opponent's clues while throwing them off the scent of their own. Each player holds one piece of evidence to help them find the creature, and will constantly try to eke out more information from their opponents. Guard your clues carefully, and you might make the discovery of your life.
Wow.
This is a real proper big board game about cryptozoology.
That is awesome.
And look at the art on it.
I know.
It looks so cool.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Well, so when do we get our ones? Are you sending us those?
Someone's... Someone's going to come to New York soon. Rosie's coming to New York. She'll give you your copy. And hopefully when we pass through the UK soon, because I'm heading to Ireland, I will bring Dan's copy.
Great, cool.
I can't wait to play that game. So thank you very much
to
Osprey Games.
I was just going to say, can I add one movie to the notice board?
Yes, please do.
That's a cryptid-esque movie. Did I mention this last week? The last Sharknado movie is coming out?
Oh, yes. I have heard this advertised. Yes, the last one.
Oh, or the latest. Brilliant.
It's the sixth, and it's the last one. And it looks as, you know, excitingly terrible and fun and awesome as the previous ones. But what I love most is its title, because they've called it The Last Sharknado, and its tagline, It's About Time. Brilliant.
That is absolutely brilliant. It's about time. And so this is the sixth one?
Yeah.
And I'll say one more thing about this is I think I read somewhere that the sharks, they fight a T-Rex or a dinosaur in this one. There's a fight between a T-Rex and a shark.
So it's about time travel and it's about time.
It is, exactly. Oh, it's perfect.
So clever.
Oh, bro.
And we've done it again, guys. Unfortunately, we've given out another great movie idea.
No!
Well, it's that 50-50 gamble, isn't it, as to whether those things have already been made or whether we've just revealed some new info. But look, that's it for the show. We've got the new notice board. There's three movie options there. There's a new board game, simply called Cryptid.
Can I just say, the notice board as well, listeners, if you've picked up on this, send your products into the notice board. Three items. You'll get it mentioned on the notice board. We'll get a free item. I'm just saying that if anybody's got a cryptid electric skateboard they want us to review, I need an electric skateboard. What do you need, Reese? Dan?
Well, whatever I need, I better not hold my breath to get it until Reese comes over to the UK rather than both.
I'm the point of contact, so if there is any neck reduction leeches that you want to send us, that'll be great, and we can fix up our double chins and necks. But yeah,
trousers for buttons, maybe.
Trousers. If anybody wants me to try out new trousers that keep you cool during hot weather,
yeah,
I'll try those out for you. We'll mention them on the notice board. We could just call it sort of it's freebie notice board.
You know what? I've listened to a few other podcasts, and they're very professional. And I know I've had a few comments online of people going, you know, if you want to make your podcast more professional, come and see us or whatever, and we can do this and we can do that. And I'm thinking, you know what? Really? Do we want to change our podcast from one where it is so shambolic, where the main guy who edits the show sits there in his underwear during the entire time while his family are running around unpacking boxes of crap as he's caught between three countries? Yeah, I don't think so. No, I think we've got it sussed. But thank you so much for all your wonderful advice online. But this is, and always will be, and make sure you've got a good track to play underneath this buttons, the greatest cryptozoological paranormal radio show the world has ever seen. I mean, heard. Good night!
Good night! Good night!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.